This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
For 5 on, Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Marshall Harris is off. Dan Wiederer, the Bears writer for the Chicago Tribune, is in. Dan of the Take the North podcast. I did wear my Take the North wristband. I just want you
to
know.
Very nice.
Bears. So we have a different 5 on it because of Dan being in, so we're going to kick it off, guys.
With Shota Imanaga being put on the 15-day injured list, who is currently the ace of the Cubs pitching staff? Is it Jameson Taillon or Matt Boyd? Who do you trust the most in a must-win game?
As much as I love Matt Boyd, and I feel like he has a vibe and his interviews are always really insightful, and I just want to listen to him talk, and I love what he's done. Only gave up 2 earned runs last night. I'm still going with Jameson Taillon. I can't argue with what he's doing. Not only has he been consistent, he's been the pitcher they hired him to be. He's talked a lot about how he adjusts his pitch mix from season to season. You're seeing that. He got into it against the Brewers after the game. He talked about his approach to righties, using 4-seam cutters, for example, and how he will mix it up on you. The man knows how to throw a bunch of different pitches. You're seeing him produce. He feels like a leader when you talk to him. So Jameson Taillon is my Cubs ace.
These guys are in rhythm right now, and it's a good question to entertain. I there's something about Boyd right now, Leila. It's a steadiness, and I don't know why I'm feeling that magnetism of what he seems to put on the mound every time he goes out to start. It feels like it's in full control. You heard Ian a few minutes ago kind of detail, both from a teammate's perspective and as a guy who had to face him, how impressive it can be when he's locked in. Obviously, again, another good start last night. Maybe some recency bias for me there, but I've really grown to appreciate what the Cubs have squeezed out of Boyd and obviously what he's doing here in his first year here in Wrigley.
5 on it. While it's early in the season, should the Chicago Cubs be considered a World Series contender?
Yes! If nothing else, because your team name is the Chicago Cubs and that's the standard you should have for the ownership. But also because you decided to get Kyle Tucker. You didn't do that because you want to sit and file your nails, get a haircut, as John Lackey says. That is not what we're doing here. You did that because you're tired of not having the offense you wanted to have. And it shows. Right now, again, I will say it again. Cubs are 3rd in slugging percentage in Major League Baseball. The teams are Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, as it should be. That should be the standard here. So you better consider yourselves a World Series contender, because if not, what are we doing here? Are we looking at the sky waiting for things to happen? No, I want to look at the sky and wait for my home run ball if I'm sitting in the bleachers. That's how this works. Let me remind you all. That's my TED Talk.
Are a World Series contender. Absolutely. And if you're not thinking in that way, you are missing the entire operation and exercise of what we're trying to do here in 2025. They played really well against good baseball teams already. They've shown that they can win bright lights, big stage series. They're 12-9 against the NL West. We've seen what they've done in some big moments against the Brewers. You've withstood some injuries. You've kept that lineup potent. There is no reason that this should be considered a fluke the way they've gotten off to the start. And now you just got to figure out a way to sustain the momentum. You're right there, right? Like, you're right there. You're the favorite in the division. You've played really well against the other teams in your league that are really, really good. 100% they should be considered a World Series contender. Five
on it. What is the biggest priority for the Bears between now and the start of training camp?
Evaluate your running back room. You've got to figure out who your 1, 2, and 3 are and how you're using them. And if you need somebody else, is free agency really over? Is free agency over for you after your draft? You've still got 10 and a half to work with right now under the salary cap. So I need you to figure out how much of this run game is actually going to dictate your offensive game plan and with whom.
My biggest priority by a country mile is successfully rebooting Caleb Williams. And it has to start here in the spring. And there's multi-prongs to this approach. Number one, it's letting him know that the offensive line that you invested in is going to be stable in front of him. It's letting him know where you want your tackle positions to settle, who's going to be on the right, who's on the left. It's creating a relationship that is harmonious with Ben Johnson right away. It's getting him comfortable with the under center game, the play action game that they're asking him to work on. Nothing is more important than Caleb walking into training camp in late July, feeling like he's ready to take off, as opposed to feeling like he's got to use 3, 4, 5 weeks to get comfortable with what they're doing. So for me, it all circles back to Caleb and how he can use this spring to get himself ready for a reboot.
Five on it. If you had to predict one Bears offensive player to make the Pro Bowl in 2025, who would that be?
One Bears offensive player. Gotta go with DJ Moore. The most established year to year. You know what you've gotten from him in production. If this offense works, it's also because DJ Moore's season is successful. So I feel like those go hand in hand. DJ Moore, even though it's a packed house in the NFC when it comes to receivers, that's the one who I would think off the top of my head would be the most likely to be a Pro Bowl player.
The cop-out answer here is Joe Tooney, who's done it at a high level for a long time. But I'm going with you with DJ Moore, because I think this is an opportunity here for DJ to prove who he is as a top-tier receiver in an offense that should give him plenty of opportunities to be featured, to have game-breaking plays designed for him, to show his abilities to be a guy that can just make plays when the ball finds him. And so I think this is a real statement year for DJ Moore, particularly with what they've got in Rome Odunze there, with the drafting of Luther Burden, with a new offensive play caller that's going to find ways to get everybody involved. But I'm really eager to see how DJ functions here with obviously a lot left on that huge contract that they gave him last offseason.
So you guys didn't mention Caleb Williams. Why not?
Probably because it's the NFC and quarterbacks. Like, you still have a pretty amazing collection of individuals. Like, say the guy who attended the Met Gala last night, you know, and Jalen Hurts, that's their Super Bowl winning QB right now. There are other quarterbacks who I feel like, even in, I hate to say it, the division, who might throw for 4,000 yards casually. What kind of season is J.J. McCarthy going to have as a rookie? You know, Goff could rattle off 4,000 pretty easily. I don't think that that's just a slam dunk when it comes to Pro Bowl consideration.
Fair question, Robbie. Easy answer. Has been burned too many times with premature quarterback hype, so I just want to see Caleb first before I start to get too far out over my skis.
Hey, I'm going to hit you guys with a question 4B because I'm very curious. Let's flip it. If you had to predict one Bears defensive player to make the Pro Bowl in 2025, who would it be?
Defensive?
Yeah.
Kyler Gordon. Do I need to say more?
I mean, the track record does speak for itself, that's for sure.
Jalen Johnson. I just think he's got to continue to be the guy on that defense, and particularly in a defense that's going to ask him to do a lot more man coverage-wise with Dennis Allen. And Jalen's raised his hand and said, let me cover the other team's number one receiver. Let me travel with him. Okay, here's your test.
Five on it. The Met Gala is a fundraising festival held for the benefit of the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute in Manhattan, and is regarded as the world's most prestigious and glamorous fashion event. It took place last night. So I ask you, Layla and Dan Wiederer, who was the best dressed at this year's Met Gala?
I have to go with, not only was the theme tailoring and the concept of celebrating Black culture and tailoring and the fashion, which I think everybody nailed pretty well, It's got to be my Olivia Pope, a.k.a. Kerry Washington. She put the white hat on, which is a nod to Scandal, which I feel like sadly becomes more and more relevant every day as a show and predicting the future in some ways. So that was my favorite, was Kerry Washington. I just thought it was a really cool outfit, and it did remind me of like the season finales of Scandal, which was a favorite at the time when it came out. So that was a show I enjoyed. Kerry Washington's up there. I thought LeBron's wife, Savannah, did a really nice job. She wore the Lakers purple and gold. And then Andre 3000 carrying the piano on his back as part of his outfit, I thought was cool and inventive. But just a lot of really nice suits, you know, a nod to a theme that I think flattered a whole lot of people.
How about 81-year-old Diana Ross rocking it out, coming back in? The coat, the goat. What was that, an 18-foot gown? When's the last time you wore your 18-foot gown out, Layla? Was that recently?
You know, I keep my 18-foot gowns in a special place that doesn't exist.
Can you imagine wearing that in the red line? Just a hazard for everybody.
Door is closing.
Ding, ding.
I got the door slammed on me today. The guy didn't even realize I was still coming out, man. He slammed the door on me on the train today.
And you weren't even wearing the 18-foot gown. I wasn't even,
exactly.
Unbelievable.
That's unfair.
But that this 18-foot gown that Diana Ross wore, it was her return to the Met Gala after a 22-year hiatus, and it was embroidered with her family's names all over it. So it's pretty fancy.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty nice.
Cardi B had some green velvet thing on that was pretty cool. I don't know if you guys saw that one. It was appealing.
I did not see Cardi B.
Oh,
I
yeah.
saw Zendaya. Zendaya killed it per usual. I
Dan,
feel
are
like
you
that
a Cardi
suit
B guy?
Was pretty great.
No, not at all.
She's got good music. I like Cardi B.
Zendaya had the all white suit with the cool looking, like, I don't know how you would describe the hat. It was like a big gangster looking hat, kind of like covering over her eye a little bit.
Wide brimmed hat,
like, yeah.
Like bootleg kind of pants or flared, I want to say. Yeah, the tailoring was top notch. Secretly, I'm hoping that this starts a trend to more fitted blazers, because oversized, especially on TV, just makes us all look like we're 50 pounds heavier, which I don't enjoy. But unless you're looking like somebody like Zendaya who can wear anything. But yeah, it was fun to watch, especially when it did celebrate so many athletes. You know, Simone Biles and Jonathan Owens were there, for example.
They've been everywhere. They were at the Derby. Yeah, they're making their way around.
My best dressed athlete of the Met Gala, in my opinion, was Stefan Diggs. Stefan Diggs had this all black kind of like trench coat looking thing. I don't know if it, yeah, it looked kind of like a trench coat, and over that it was a big long fur on one side. It looked pretty cool. Red shoes. So the little contrast there. Stefan Diggs was the best dressed, in my opinion, of all the sporty dudes that were there, all the NFL players.
I'm just now seeing the Simone Biles outfit. That's pretty sharp. She's so tiny. She's so tiny.
She is. 815 and 312 at the same time. Good call. Angel Reese had a really cool outfit on, and I think she was part of the I don't know what they call it. It's like a host committee. Sometimes you call it in a gala or board where you're honored a little bit more so, or you're part of an extra honor. She did have a really nice outfit on. It was like a black fitted skirt with a little bit of like a midriff and then a black top. So I really liked hers as well. Everybody just looks sharp. Like a suit just makes everybody look good.
Yeah. And it was less bizarre, right? Like it didn't feel as bizarre as some years.
No, I feel like,
I know,
yeah,
bizarre
like
is part of the theme, right?
But the theme is camp. Like the Met is a costume ball, you know, at its essence.
Yeah.
I am kind of bummed that we didn't get to see LeBron, but as we were talking about in our pre-show meeting, I think that there's a way where if you're standing for a long time and posing for pictures on a red carpet, and there's a lot of uncomfortable spots where you find yourself standing, especially still in one place, that might be hard on a knee. It makes sense as to why he might not have been able to attend.
Maybe.
Yeah, because my mind definitely went to the conspiracy theory place of like, oh, he just didn't want to show up after getting embarrassed in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, hey, let's talk about that for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he did appear in the photo for the All-Star game, even though he was injured. He was in street clothes in that picture, but it's a lot different, as Layla is saying, when you're having to stand for a photo shoot for hours on the red carpet. So, yeah, it could be definitely, you know, just the truth that he couldn't stand there all night.
DNP.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? Is sometimes that's actually the case. Also, here's the funny part is, if he had actually gone and he was not able to walk around, what do you think we would be talking about right now? We'd be talking about how LeBron wasn't healthy for the Met Gala, and it'd be all over First Take and whatever else.
Is his career over?
Exactly. That's what would happen, even though the NBA playoffs are going on and they've been incredibly exciting so far.
Jordan would have never skipped the Met Gala.
Do you want an extra question from the text line that I feel like might be good? This is like the bonus for the five on it. 773. Dan, why is Bates still on the roster? Wouldn't releasing Bates free up $4 million in cap space? 773 has a point.
Was Bates at the Met Gala last night?
Yeah. No. I didn't see his outfit.
Could afford the ticket.
It was
though.
A pinstripe suit, I think. Am I answering that now? We got time. We slid into Ryan Bates there.
We have a minute and a half.
Look, that you need depth on your offensive line. I mean, Luke Newman, day three draft pick, is going to try to give you some interior line depth. It's not like the Bears are up against it salary cap wise. So, I don't love the return on investment they've gotten after trading a draft pick to acquire Ryan Bates, but they still see something there that he can be a guy that gives you depth on the interior, and it's going to be tested. We've already established that at some point their depth is going to be tested on the offensive line.
I think the bottom line is if they want to get any sort of extra free agent, they're going to have to make some sort of move to clear up some more space. How much money would you say they have to have a working cap number? Because I feel like this happened with Ryan Pace a lot, where we were talking about how you have to have like $5 million free.
You have to be ready to roll. I haven't looked recently at their new cap alignment with the draft class added in. Look, like, you also have to take 90 guys to training camp, and you have to have about 15 of those be offensive linemen to be able to just function for the next month here, and then obviously the 6 weeks that lead up to the regular season. So, we'll see where they go with this offensive line. It's a work in progress, but man, I think every one of us would agree that it's in a lot better shape than it was at the end of last season.
I think that is fair, and I appreciate the bonus question because we had time for it, so why not? I feel like that's the show today.
Bonus time?
We got in the weeds on a bonus topic. I feel like we got really deep on some Bears talk that somehow was not addressed previously. I didn't think that could happen in May as much as we do, but you just never know. Since we have a little bit more time on this five on it, I should probably tell you guys about something you get for free from us. How about that? If you missed our conversation, by the way, with Ian Happ earlier in the show, you can go back and listen with the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Search 670 The Score and tap earlier today to get started. And keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs and Marlins at Wrigley next Monday night, May 12th. It is provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. We continue with Dan Wieder in for Marshall Harris on Raheemy and Harris on The Score. And we bring in Mike Sando of The Athletic next to talk about not only executives' viewpoints of the NFL draft, but maybe we get a little back and forth with Mike Sando and Dan Wieder. How about it? That's next on Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, all these guys are capable of really producing with the ball in their hand, and it also puts a lot of stress on the defense where, you know, we're looking at good looks, and that plays right into Ben's hands in terms of how he wants to attack each week.
I was Ryan Poles, as we know, and we go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline to bring in our next guest on Rahimi and Harris, Dan Wiederer in. For Marshall Harris, it is our friend Mike Sando of The Athletic at work again, this time writing articles about what other executives think about other teams' drafts. Always nice to talk to Mike, especially after the quarterback tier story. And the beast that just came out where they, again, upgraded that user interface online. So, Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I can't take credit for the beast, but it does look pretty good on there, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I said that because we've had Dane on, of course, Dane Brugler. But after you and I talked about the graphic support, I think that went with the quarterback tier story, I couldn't help but notice that they did the same thing with the beast.
Yeah, we have a good team, and it's really made progress in that area. I think a lot of our stuff looks better, and agreed, the beast was, that had to be a beast to do for such a big document.
Well, now we get to follow up with the draft, and I think it's a really cool concept, the idea of being able to talk to other executives, remaining anonymous about other teams' drafts. So naturally, we wanted to get your gauge on what was said about the Bears. What were your main takeaways?
Generally positive. You know, I think they can see it's a coach-driven draft at the top when you're taking two weapons like that. And maybe that's okay because your coach is the star of the show now, and he did such a great job in Detroit with the pieces he had. So there's probably a little bit of trust that, you know, people think highly of Ben Johnson and think that if he likes a couple guys here, that he's going to be able to get the use out of them. It was interesting before the draft, you know, some of the rankings had had Ty Warren, who ended up being drafted by the Colts at 14 as the top tight end. But the people that I talked to thought it was going to be Colston Loveland, who the Bears took, just because he's more dynamic as a receiver. So I think that was generally applauded. You know, they've thrown a lot at the receiver and tight end positions. So, you know, that's okay because they did address their offensive line quite a bit earlier this offseason. I'd say just generally, you know, generally pretty positive and understanding of what the Bears are doing.
Mike, the Loveland buzz has been louder and certainly more amplified after the draft than it was before the draft. What is your sense of what excites people around the league at what his potential is, obviously playing in an offense that should feature him?
Yeah, well, just the ability to get open, which isn't a given with tight ends. There's different types of tight ends. Some of them are, you know, better blockers. Some of them are, you know, well-rounded, pretty good at both blocking and receiving. But I think what's differentiating the guys at the top, usually, if you want to take one early, is their ability to separate and get open on their own. So people think he can do that. And that's, like I said, that differentiates him a little bit in the minds of some from the second tight end in the draft, Warren. So that's what it is, ability to, you know, to almost operate like a receiver from the tight end position.
I think it's also valuable when it comes to just the overall impression of, we've asked the question before, whose draft is this? And that was one where the pick was so indicative of the hallmarks of a Ben Johnson need. You know, what was your takeaway when it came to that part of this? Was not just the comments about Ben Johnson's needs specifically, but the overall draft?
Yeah, agreed. And I also think that it was a draft where by the time the Bears were picking, it wasn't like there was a no-brainer person to pick. You kind of had your choice of a lot of different things, right? You could say in some other years, even last year, you know, it worked out a little similarly where like Joe Alt was this great tackle available and he ended up not being available by the time the Bears picked, I think, at number 9. But, you know, if there's somebody like that, that's just a no-brainer. But if they were going to address, you know, people wanted them to get a running back. Well, there isn't really one you're going to take there, you know, at 10. Offensive line, yeah, there were some kind of guard tackle types, but you did that in free agency. You didn't necessarily have to do that. So, you know, I did think it set up a little bit more easily to take a piece that the coach likes as opposed to feeling like, oh my gosh, the number one corner's available. We have to get him. There weren't players like that in this draft at number 10.
Mike, on day two, they picked Luther Burden, and it's another weapon for Ben and Caleb to utilize. There was some sentiment initially that that's a luxury pick for this team, given where they're at. And then there's this post-draft buzz that best case scenario is Luther Burden becomes a Pro Bowl difference maker for your offense for a long time. What's your sense on kind of how he's viewed and kind of the pluses and minuses of making that pick where they made it?
Yeah, I think you could find many mock drafts before the draft that had him going a lot earlier, going in the first round. So I think people are understanding of the value looks like you're getting in the second round and think that, you know, it could be a little bit of a luxury because you've got other receivers. Now, they have different skill sets, so I'm not saying he's the same as all the other receivers, but, you know, if you want the ball in somebody's hands, you could say DJ Moore could, you know, do some things after the catch as well. So I think that's a fair point to bring up. You know, you could call it a criticism that, you know, maybe it was a bit of a luxury pick. I think it was interesting that, you know, the pick before that the Patriots took Travion Henderson, the running back. I think that's interesting. I probably could have got into that in the analysis, probably should have. But I thought what was interesting about that is that Henderson is seen as a pass protection piece, not just a runner. Really could help your pass protection. He's a great willing pass blocker. So, you know, if both those players were available at that pick, you'd probably lean towards Henderson, right?
No doubt. And I think, there was a push to try to make that happen. And then they had to, I don't want to say settle, but, you know, pivot, I guess is a better way to put it.
Well, and we've been trying, Mike, to figure out what the Bears' counterpunch was after that, because then they go another 6 rounds before they get a running back. You know, they go to the 7th round. So that's been a discussion that we've been having, is just the thought on if that was truly a position of need versus them talking a lot about their board.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I mean, certainly they could have taken one earlier, but, you know, as sometimes you really only like certain players, right? So there could be other backs that they would have been fine with, but it just didn't feel like it was adding what they wanted to add at the expense of something else they could have gotten later in the draft. Like, you know, I think people liked they took an offensive lineman at 56. People liked that pick. You know, maybe if you're going to do luxury with Burden, you come back with meat and potatoes with offensive line, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then we're like, okay, now we're 3 picks into this thing. We haven't taken anyone on defense. So, okay, let's get this defensive tackle, Turner, right?
Yep.
And so you can kind of see how that goes. And now, we don't like these backs that are here in this next range the same. That's how that happens.
I think also when it came to just the executive opinion, you know, that was addressed in some of these quotes. Like, for example, when they're talking about, well, that's a lot of resources at the tight end position, that there is some acknowledgement of either perhaps some overlapping positional possible redundancy or an understanding of the availability of what was there at the draft that they wanted.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And when I look at where they were, so remember I said, like at 132, they took the linebacker. Well, at that point, you know, a running back had come off 5 picks before. Another one had come up, 2 others had come off a couple before that. Scatabu had come off. A lot of people liked him, special teams guys. So, you know, that's the board falls how it falls. And if you want to make a maneuver and move up to get a guy, you're going to pay for that. And it may just not have seemed worth it to them. And I think you have to trust Ben Johnson a little bit in terms of what he has on offense, what he thinks he needs, and he got what he wanted. Oh, clearly, they didn't pass on a running back when he wanted to have one. I would almost guarantee that.
Mike, two-part question here. You had quoted an executive in your piece about Ozzie Trapillo saying that he could be the sleeper of this class for the Bears. I'm curious what kind of buzz you heard about what makes him that. And then on a bigger picture sort of look, when you draft a tackle in a top 60 of a draft, what have to be the realistic expectations for what he is going to be for you, for your football team for the long haul?
I think that high, you're hoping to get a starter. It may not be a starter right away, but I think you'd really like to get a starter out of that second pick, and maybe he starts, maybe it's the second year or whatever. But, I think he played a lot of right tackle in Bill O'Brien's offense there at Boston College. So, I believe the Bears have Darnell Wright there, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
And so we'll see what the future is for him, and where he's going to go. But that could be, this could be a swing tackle, somebody for you. This could be, an eventual starter at right tackle, depending what you think is going to happen with Wright in terms of either changing positions or where he fits into their future on an extension, those sorts of things. You can't have enough of those guys at that position. And so if you like a guy, you take him and you work him into the mix.
Mike, I know that you've mentioned the Bears is getting high marks from this random executive pool that you talked to. But what was another team in the NFC that stood out to people as far as how they performed in the draft?
People loved the Rams getting a first-round pick next year. Sometimes those first-round picks seem really great, don't they, until you have to actually use them. But the idea of doing that when you may need a quarterback next year. I think a lot of people like that. People didn't like the other side of it with Atlanta giving that away, even though they liked some of their players. Let's see. So I scroll through some of these teams. I think people liked the Giants. I think the Giants were another one as I go through this, just because the market sort of proved they were correct in not taking a quarterback at two. There was sort of debate of like how early do they need to take a quarterback? They took Abdul Carter instead of kind of panicking and taking, Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart or somebody that they liked at three because they felt like they needed to have a quarterback. So I think that was decent, good process. And then, I don't know if Jackson Dart's going to be any good, but you at least addressed that position, got the next quarterback and somebody they obviously liked. So, and then Cam Scataboo also was seen as an interesting pick in the fourth round, running back who could kind of almost affect your culture just by the way he plays on special teams and the energy he brings. I think that was a pick that I talked to more than one executive who was like trying, hoping that their team would have taken him.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think he was on the radar here as well. Layla mentioned earlier your QB tiers piece, and that's one of those annual summer Christmas morning pieces where you're pretty excited for it to come out. I'd imagine that even though that doesn't launch until August, you're well on your way to compiling some of this, correct?
You really can't start till after the draft because that's when you know who's starting in the different places, right?
Okay.
So you can't. We had to see who's going to draft quarterbacks, where's Russell Wilson going to land, all those types of things. So then get going a little bit here soon.
Aaron Rodgers also on that list. I'm just curious, what do you expect you might hear that be the first year that Caleb Williams will be folded into that? Because obviously rookies aren't eligible for it. But what do you expect to hear? What are some of your early takes on where Caleb is right now?
Yeah, probably some criticism of his first year playing and taking too many sacks, and just probably not being as good as people thought he was going to be. You could say what you want about the situation around him. And then I think there'll be talk about what Ben Johnson can do with him and how Ben Johnson is, I think Ben Johnson's a little bit of an old school coach. I think he coaches people hard and holds them accountable. So I think that'll be an interesting situation for Caleb Williams there in Chicago.
Mike, I do remember talking to you about Lamar Jackson pretty intently after the last one came out. Does anything change after this past season? Because I thought he was a tier lower.
So. Yeah, well, he was right on the edge of tier one and tier two. So, I would imagine that he would bump into tier one. I would think so after last year, yeah.
I was curious about that. Not that I need to scoreboard anybody. Goodness knows I've been wrong on a million things. But I did wonder if his past season would put him back in that top tier.
Well, he has never been there before in tier one. He's always been close, but I think the way he's not so much this year or even last, but the way that it hasn't translated to the postseason and and has kept him sort of, and concerns about his passing in the past, kept him a little bit lower, but he really moved right to the edge of it this last year. I was going to look at it now. It's not popping up, but just he was close. He had a lot of tier one votes. So I would think that enough of those would swing over. He'll be in tier one with probably Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and we'll see who else.
Mike, we look forward to it. And until then, we get to check out not only your story about executives talking about the draft, but I know one was just released, executives talking about free agency as well. So we will look forward to those. And thanks for joining us here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Nice to talk to Mike Sando always, especially when there is that embarrassment of riches resource-wise there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like that's something you look forward to, too, the quarterback tiers.
Oh, yeah, because it's so informed, right? Like that's the best part of it is it's not Mike's rankings, right? Like Mike reaches out all over the league and gets such a wide array of opinions that help you crystallize how the entire league views all of these quarterbacks. And it's fascinating to see how it stacks up every year.
Well, and I thought that it was compelling that the Giants got such high marks for their draft after everything that happened.
Sure.
We're still trying to figure out. Right now, they still have four quarterbacks in the room, right? They haven't made a move on DeVito yet, have they?
No.
Your guy.
ILL.
I, right?
See, I got you to do it. There you go.
I like the Illini. I did not go there, but I appreciate there, if that makes sense. So let's continue that topic. Asking Dan the question, Ryan Poles brought it up previously. We've asked a couple different people what they think. I think Dan is a great one to ask. If not only is the Bears free agency period really over, but also a little bit of what we talked about, that story you had previously regarding Caleb Williams and the tools around him, and then also... Is it back? Is your mock back?
Oh, we've got a mock, and I mock mocks a lot, but I've got a mock that I'm leaning into.
You thought the mock draft was the thing. Oh, no, no. Dan has done one better. We'll do that next on The Score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
For me, it's to win the division. And I know our division has gotten better and better and more competitive over the last few years. But that's always going to be the goal for us. And then to win championships after that. So to be in that position, I think this team is capable of doing that. They're hungry for that. You can feel the excitement from the guys getting ready to come back. The new guys too, yeah. And get after this thing. And we're doing things the right way. We're getting the right people in the building.
That's Luke Kanellis with Bears general manager Ryan Poles, talking a lot of Bears today because Dan Wiederer is in for Marshall Harris on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. And I know we have a bunch of different topics to hit in this segment, so I'm just going to go dealer's choice. What does Dan Wiederer want to talk about first?
Let's start with the schedule, because I love it. We're a week away from the official schedule release. It's a very important holiday, particularly for beat writers booking travel. But last year, I was invited to come in here on schedule release day and do a show with Grody. And then the NFL moved the schedule release back a week. And so we didn't have the topic of the day to talk about. And so I created a mock schedule that day just to fill an hour that afternoon. And I've decided I'm going to own that. I'm notorious for ripping on people for doing, you know, 7-round mock drafts in January before free agency is done. I now have a mock of my own. Nobody's doing a mock schedule, and I'm going to do the mock schedule, and I'm going to take complete ownership for the Bears portion of it. And I've already, here's the deal. It's going to launch Thursday at ChicagoTribune.com. We're going to do a Take the North episode going through the mock schedule. And here today, as a little tease, you guys can ask me a couple questions on what curiosities you have about the Bears schedule, who they play, when they play them, and where they are on Dan Wiederer's mock schedule.
I love that you're doing a mock schedule. I think it's hilarious. And I think it is in the same spirit of the NFL when they rolled out Laura Rutledge and Colleen Wolf to tell everybody during the draft that the schedule was coming. Because we would have never known that the schedule was coming if it wasn't for that announcement.
Hey, you need to know the date of that for a lot of different reasons. And so I was appreciative that I missed that during draft weekend, because draft weekend drives you in a lot of different directions when you're up at Hallis Hall. But Sean Hammond's like, no, they announced a date, May 14th, get it ready. And we got to rock and roll to get this schedule figured out.
Don't we think that last year it was slowed by the by the NFL Christmas Day discussion?
Like, I think that was part of it.
Yeah,
right?
I think that was a factor in that.
We've got more Christmas Day games this year, but I am not putting the Bears on Christmas Day.
All right, that's my first question. Which holiday, if any, do you think the Bears will play on?
So my mock schedule has a special request to the NFL schedule makers. I'm tired of doing Thanksgiving dinner at 11 a.m. at Ford Field every year. So I would like to do Thanksgiving dinner at home. But I will also cover a football game that night at Soldier Field. Are you guys cool with Thanksgiving night, Bears, Vikings here at Soldier Field?
You think that the Bears are going to host a Thanksgiving game at night this season?
It's a wish list. I would do it. I think it would be fun to bring that holiday here instead of having to do it in Detroit every year.
Is it in your box schedule?
It is. I also said I would accept that being the Black Friday game as well, the Amazon Black Friday game.
I think expectation of them, if they are a part of that package, that they end up as Black Friday.
Be fun, right? Like, it'd be fun to have a Friday after Thanksgiving afternoon game right here on the lakefront.
What a wild concept that is. All right, so you've already gotten pretty creative in your mock schedule. What can you tell us about the opening game?
no one's going to open earlier than the Bears.
Another Thursday?
Thursday night against the Eagles, NFL kickoff game. The Eagles have some other options there. Obviously, they're going to host it as the Super Bowl champions. They could bring the Commanders there for a rematch of the NFC Championship game. But nah, let's do Ben Johnson versus Vic Fangio on opening night. Let everybody have that treat for themselves.
I thought it was a Super Bowl rematch a lot of the time, or at least one member of the Super Bowl usually plays.
The Super Bowl champion plays in it, so the Eagles will host it. And so now you've got to go through the Eagles' home games and figure out what's most appealing for the masses. I don't know that anybody's going to turn down the Bears on opening night.
I mean, Eagles fans would say if they're hosting, the most appealing for them would be Cowboys, just to twist the knife to show the contrast between the two. But I get it. I get it.
They got the Lions on their schedule as well, so they could have that you know, that could be a fun one between the two teams that were really, really good in the NFC last year. But I got the Bears there. Let's do it.
I love this, the mock schedule. When is the bye week? When did you mock the bye week?
Week eight.
That's the ideal week. Nobody ever gets week eight.
And it is also right before they go back to Washington for what is going to be a game that is going to probably have a lot of spotlight on it. Some things happened in Washington last year, if you remember.
Can they play against Washington on a Thursday 3 years in a row?
I hope not. So I've got that one on Sunday Night Football. After the bye week, Washington, Tyreek Stevenson goes back to Northwest Stadium, Ben Johnson against Dan Quinn. Maybe Ben figures out how to successfully hand the football to an offensive lineman for a touchdown.
You had to go there. How much of this is just wrapping up plot lines from last season?
Hey, why not, right? Like, let's get those wrapped up as soon as possible. There's also a new plot line here, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this recently, this budding Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur rivalry that seems to be growing in friction, and I am here for every ounce of that.
Do you think that Matt LaFleur said he doesn't know Ben Johnson because he actually does? Because I'm pretty sure you have to game plan for your opposing offense.
I think Matt LaFleur was disproportionately bothered by that very theatrical jibe that Ben hurled across the border in January. I think it hit him in a way that it shouldn't have, which is funny because he's 11-1 against the Bears, and he's obviously got a lot of reason to puff his chest out in this particular rivalry. But I like it. I like every part of it. I like that LaFleur was bothered. I like that Ben doesn't care and is all for kicking over the hornet's nest. Like, let's do this. Let's have a competitive rivalry again against these two teams, and let's hope that there is a way to make that happen.
I always joke that in a college introductory press conference, you just say beat whoever the rival is.
Yeah.
Like if you're
it's obligatory.
If you're Brian Kelly at LSU, just say beat Bama. You know, it's an easy one.
If you're Brian Kelly at LSU, you say beat Bama.
Your family. Yeah, that's still hilarious to me. But when the flip side of this for the NFL is go Bears beat the Packers, like that's how I always feel about this. It's bear down, beat Green Bay. That's how I felt Ben Johnson's statement was. I do not feel like Matt LaFleur took it as
he
that.
Did not, because he was called by name. He was called out by name, and I think it jostled him a little bit. I know it jostled him a little bit, to be honest with you, because I've had conversations with people who know that Matt was PO'd
seriously?
By that comment. Yes. And so let's go. Let's bring that rivalry back to where it belongs.
He was. Really? That actually was something. This has more
agitated.
To do. This has to do with the fact that they lost that game at home to end the season. Doesn't that play a factor into this?
Ben beat him 5 out of 6 times, you know, in the 3 years he was calling plays for the Lions. And so I think that probably starts to bother you a little bit. You get a little bit fired up. Listen, like, I get it. Competitive friction can really, really take a hold of you sometimes, and you've got to figure out a way to channel it in the right directions. But again, I love the theater of that. That game will be fun.
Okay, so when do you have that game where they first meet in your mock schedule, and where?
Week 2 here. Why wait?
They waited 8 weeks to play the entire division, as I recall.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that this year.
Do they play internationally in your mock schedule?
No international game.
So they're not going to Brazil or something?
No.
Well, that's a shame. Do you have the Jaguars playing in London in their mock schedule?
I did not do a Jaguars mock schedule. Unfortunately, I did not do the entire 272
game
slate. I just did the Bears 18-week roadmap between now and the end of it.
If you did a Jaguars mock schedule, would they be playing in London on it?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's obligatory, right? Like, that's one that has to happen. I was tempted to put the Bears on back-to-back Thursday nights, Thanksgiving, and the following week, because you know how they do that. That Thursday night after Thanksgiving is usually two teams that already played on Thanksgiving. But because the Bears have to go to Philly, you can't have three Thursday night games.
I mean, they have two. Like, they've had two years in a row, yeah. I think. That was kind of high.
Well, yeah, and it's becoming increasingly so because of the way the NFL's packaging these things. And man, like, Christmas falls on a Thursday this year, by the way.
There it is. See, I didn't know that.
And yeah, so I think there's three games this year, so that's six teams. I've been very fortunate as a father to have never been gone on Christmas morning.
Well, I would update your mock schedule because that's how it works. That's how that happens.
That's what is going to happen this year, aren't
I? I'm going to follow up.
I'm going to be somewhere lame like Cincinnati on Christmas morning.
Next week, we're going to find out for sure. Dan Wiederer's mock schedule, I love it. Coming up next, he is in the studio. We get back to baseball. Russ Dorsey joins us for two segments. We'll talk about the Cubs, a little bit of White Sox, also just his observations of the leagues so far. That is next on The Score.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.